Welcome to Firm Foundation. In these times of shifting standards and faulty foundations, there is a solid place on which to build a victorious life. And that place is the firm foundation of Jesus Christ and the Word of God. Your host for Firm Foundation is Brian Hudson, a Bible teacher, pastor, author, and producer of Life Enriching Media.
I'd like to begin with a brief video. And, you know, when you're a minister and you're out and you travel and you go places, the Lord's always kind of speaking to you through your environment. I've taught you how that the Apostle Paul taught about the armor of God. Well, he was actually handcuffed, as it were, chained and tied to a Roman centurion. That was his form of incarceration. And so he drew his message on the armor of God from the armor he saw on the Roman who was guarding him and other Romans around him. Well, my message today is taken from something that occurred on our trip in England. So watch this brief video, and we'll come back and give scripture and talk about what's on my heart. Phrase, mind the gap, please. And you hear it in New York, Chicago, they say, watch your step. There they say, mind the gap. And it's iconic because we'll learn here in our lesson today that London had the world's first subway. Now, back then, I'm sure a person said, mind the gap, and it may have been a really big gap, right? Because the trains today are engineered better, the platforms are better, things are closer. But back then, to mind that gap could save your life. And so the phrase mind the gap is what came into my spirit as I was preparing, even last week, thinking about the message today. You know, as a minister, you're always, God's always speaking to your heart. And I wasn't working over there, but you know, you hear things, you pick up things. And so this phrase, mind the gap, rolled over in my mind. So today I'm going to share with you a lesson entitled Mind the Gap. Say, mind the gap. Mind the gap. We have notes on the screen, PowerPoint on the screen here for you today. I'd like for us to begin this teaching in the book of Ezekiel. I'm going to read several scriptures here today, and I trust the Lord is going to encourage us all together. Because in that phrase, mind the gap, I believe there's a lot of insight to be gained, a lot of understanding to be gained. Let me first begin, though, with 2 Peter chapter 3. Let me start there first. In fact, if you can, just read with me, please, if you could. Chapter 1, 2 Peter, verse 3. Let's read. As his divine power has given to us all things that pertain to life and godliness through the knowledge of him who called us by glory and virtue, by which have been given to us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these, keep reading, amen, keep going, amen. Now, I use that text because I believe it speaks to this idea of gaps, spaces. When he says, add to your faith, it's almost saying there's a need, there's something missing. There's a gap there that needs to be filled. So he says there, add to your faith. And he gives this sequence of virtues. He talks about, His power has given us all things that pertain to life. Add to your faith virtue, to virtue knowledge, to knowledge self-control, to self-control perseverance, to perseverance godliness. And these are all areas, our faith and virtue and knowledge, self-control, where we may find that there's a gap that needs to be minded. Amen. Now, look at Ezekiel 22. Next scripture, and we'll read this one. Read together, please. Verse 29. The people of the land practice extortion, commit robbery, they oppress the poor and needy, and mistreat the foreigner, denying them justice. I look for someone among them who would build up the wall, stand in the gap before. But I found no one. In the midst of the treachery of his day and our day against people, against foreigners, interestingly, he says, I sought for someone who would stand in the gap before the people for me. Stand for me, representing me before the people. See, God's looking for someone to represent him to people. I mean, people in need, oppressors, oppressed. God's looking for someone. He said, I found no one. In the text, in context, Israel was into judgment because for a lack of someone stepping into that space and declaring God's purpose and showing people God's way, then trouble and calamity came on the people. So sometimes for a lack of action, other people suffer. Amen, somebody. For a lack of action, our action, others' actions, sometimes for a lack of action, suffering occurs. Now, mind the gap. Let me give you the full introduction to the title of the message because I'm giving you these other phrases. Mind the gap and three phrases. Close the distance, remove dangers, help others. Say, close the distance. Remove dangers, help others. So while mind the gap means, of course, watch the gap between the platform and the train. I know that. But to me, it expanded in my thinking because, of course, you know, going into that gap, getting a heel caught in there. Of course, back in the old days when the trains were first made, they're probably a huge gap stepping up and down. Your whole leg could drop off in that gap. But really, when you close the distance, then there's no gap. And so my thinking is, what is it that God would have us to think about today in which there are gaps where the distance is too great between where you are and where God wants you? Amen, somebody. Mind that gap. Close that gap. Or what danger are we facing? For example, we know that health screenings and such, you can identify a danger and then get that treated before it becomes a problem, right? So we got to remove the dangers. That's a way of closing a gap. And then helping others. That's an obvious one, helping others. And I also say getting help for yourself. These are ways in which we can mind the gap. You with me so far? All right. Look now to Nehemiah. Let's take the third scripture here, Nehemiah, and see what is said in his day regarding mind the gap in his context. Nehemiah chapter 4, let's read together from verse 6. It says, so we rebuilt the wall till all of it reached half its height, for the people worked with all their heart. When Sanballat, Tobiah, and the Arabs and Ammonites and the people of Ashdod heard that the repairs to Jerusalem walls had gone ahead and that the gaps were being closed, they were very angry. And they all plotted together to come and fight against Jerusalem and stir up trouble against it. Now, why would somebody be upset when you're getting something done that needs to be done? You're rebuilding your life. Rebuilding a city, closing the breaches and gaps in the walls. It says they were angry. Now listen, life is full of gaps. Spaces, that need to be closed, filled, or understood. That's a slide for that, please. Life is full of gaps. And when you think about this phrase, mind the gap, it really means a lot. There's a lot in that phrase if you take it to heart. Life is full of gaps. Again, spaces that need to be filled, closed, filled, or understood. Now, life is full of things that really don't really need dramatic change. So you think to your life, well, if I had this big change in my life, I'd be better. Actually, life often does not need dramatic change. You don't need to have all new things sometimes. You know, your life is better than you think it is already. And the old saying is, perception is reality, is not really true, because our perception is often faulty. We perceive wrongly. We don't perceive reality. For example, you can see a person who's not smiling. He's a sad person. You just saw him like 2 seconds. And you say he's sad. That's your perception, but not his reality. So when you perceive your life in that manner, you may be making a mistake, because you are frustrating yourself and looking for problems where they don't exist. And sometimes the things we need to do are not giant changes, but small changes, like closing gaps. See, a gap is small by definition. If a gap is something really big, we don't call it a gap. We call it a chasm. We call it a pit. You know what I'm saying? But a gap is something small. Say something small. But it's small, but it still represents a danger. It's still a problem for you. But because it's a gap, see, it's just a gap. You know, it's just a gap, you know. I mean, you know, I don't really get drunk all the time, just sometimes. You know what I'm saying? But the gaps are issues for us to deal with. Amen? The Bible says, greater is he who is in you than he who is in the world. Now, there's your reality right there. All this stuff in the world is there. It needs to be addressed. But it's not your greatest concern. Your greatest concern is who you are in Christ. You should focus on the greater one within you. Because, listen, it's from that position you can address all the gaps. And the gaps do need to be handled. Now, the gaps need addressing. But don't think that the things in this world are greater than who God is in you. Y'all receive that? So our perception is a gap. In fact, trusting our perception is a lazy way to understand people and your circumstances. It's a lazy way, because if I can just perceive and discern whatever, that's lazy. What we should do really is take time to understand, to pray. Come on, somebody. Ask questions. Seek counsel. See what God has to say about it. Because your perception, your little discernment is not enough. See, well, Pastor, I got the spirit of discernment. There is no such thing in the Bible. It says right here, show me. What it says is discerning of spirits. That's a really big different thing than the gift of discernment. What you got is the gift of fault finding. That's what that is. Amen. Because the biblical gift is discerning the spirits. Is it godly? Is it demonic? It's not about moods. And your face tells me I discern by your face. No, you're way out of line there. Go back to the Bible. You got a gap. No, you got a chasm. The point is, see, our perception is a gap. So stop perceiving. Stop going by how you feel, what it looked like. Bible says, don't judge by appearance. Jesus said, judge righteous judgment. Oh, we do judge. But we judge not by appearance. But don't we judge by appearance? Now, come on now. Isn't that what we're doing? We judge by appearance, casual glance. I mean, we haven't even been in the Word, haven't prayed, and I'm going to judge something. I don't trust my judgment. I'm not in the Spirit of God, the mind of Christ. So what happens is, we don't want to be lazy with our perception. We want to pray, ask questions, understand, get counsel. Now, my wife mentioned our trip to England, recent trip to our vacation in England, and which was, you know, it was good. I've been there before for Bible conferences. I've been three times before, matter of fact. Well, I've been in Wales and England. But this time was pure vacation. It was much different. And I won't talk about it much, but just to say we had a great time. And I did send y'all some pictures you can look at, one of which is a video with a dash cam. We had a Mercedes-Benz, y'all. Don't get excited about that. A-class. A, not C-class. Not a, what else they got in classes? S-class. A is like the littlest thing. 180. A 180. Tires this big around, okay? But it was a Benz. I was in a Benz, all right, but it wasn't a Benz. You haven't seen it. You don't see this Benz around here. This Benz, you know, they wouldn't. You couldn't sell this Benz here. But the point is, we drove around, had a great time. But this I noticed about going about the city and being immersed in a culture for 7 days is, first of all, there's a gap in cultures. There's a gap in cultures. That, you know, you can't make assumptions about people you really don't know and about nations and countries you haven't visited and spent time with. We can read, we can research, but being among people, I mean, even in America, being among people is the only way you'll be able to really understand what you're dealing with. Amen? But over there, public transportation is much bigger than here because it's a smaller country with a lot of people, small streets, and so a lot of people ride the buses. So the reason they have double-deck buses is because they need double-deck buses to move all those people. A lot of folk ride the bus over there and take trains and subways. And so as Pat mentioned, we met people. We were in school, was in session still. We were riding the bus with students. They rode the city buses from and to school. Now, I noticed this, that my wife was speaking with a young lady on the bus, and we were going along there in a nice neighborhood, actually, and they were talking, and she just said, out of the blue, she said, I hate it here. I hate it here. I hate it here. And I thought, that's interesting, because she's a nice girl, nice-looking girl, had a nice uniform on. She got off the bus in a nice neighborhood, and yet she said, I don't like it here. And I realized, you know, there is a gap in our appreciation for life, isn't there? There's sometimes a gap in our appreciation for life. And people asked us, we mentioned we were from America. They could tell that, you know. Guys, so you have a heavy accent. I have a heavy accent. American accent. But people said to us, well, why would you come here? Yeah, they did, twice. Why would you come here for vacation? You know, I think, have you been to Dover? Cliff, have you been? See, people sometimes in their own nation, for example, have y'all been to the beach in Lake Michigan? Raise your hand. Look at that. We got a beach, y'all. We got a beach, a nice beach, as good a beach as I've been anywhere I've been. Indiana got beaches, y'all. Not Indiana Beach. Not Monticello. My point is, why would she say, I hate it here? I can't judge her. I don't know what she's been through. But I do know that there is a gap in our appreciation of life. That's a gap we need to close. Thank God for life, somebody. Amen. Thank God for living. Remember when Brenda went through a long season of illness? She ain't been sick for a long time now. You've been healed so long, you forgot you were sick. You don't look like what you've been through. Amen? Amen. I mean, thank God for life. Amen. Bible says, in everything, give thanks. In everything. Not for always, but in everything. So why she said that, I don't know why. One kid said, I want to go to California. You don't know that. You think you want to go to California. I mean, when you get there, you find out you can't live nowhere in there. on the edge of the desert somewhere. You got to drive 2 hours to get to work. You can't live in the city. It costs too much. Got a little house the size of my backyard. No, the size of my garage, $1 million. They're doing 60-year mortgages out there. Just to get the payment down. You're not going to pay for anything out there. But again, I mean, in California, I've been there. I go, but see, when you know something, you realize you got a gap in your appreciation of your life. Amen. Indianapolis is a great place to live. Amen. If you've been anywhere else around this country, you know this here is a great place to live. It's not very scenic, that's for sure, but as far as living goes, it's a great place to live. So, Lord, help us close the gap in our appreciation. I got to move on. Say, Lord, help me close the gap in my appreciation of my life. As I mentioned, the subway system over there was the first in the world. 1863 was the first subway. I mean, dug by hand, basically, you know, amazing. And that those gaps between the platform and the train, you know, was very wide. And so they've engineered it today where it's very narrow. I saw some gaps as small as 1 inch. Even with the accessible part, the ramp came out onto the platform. Just smooth travel right up to the train. So I say that because when you talk about minding a gap, when you meditate on that term, to me, it really helps me to be mindful of what's around me, the people in my life, mindful of what I need to do to close gaps in the areas I mentioned earlier. So let's go into this more deeply now. Again, I said three things to you about closing the gap or minding gaps. First of all, is close the distance. When you close the distance, what does it mean? Well, you have to discern that for yourself. Maybe you're too far from God in your prayer life. Maybe the distance between you and your relatives is too far. Maybe between you and your siblings or parents. I mean, close the distance. You just take that however God speaks to you. Amen. Second is to remove dangers. I mentioned about early on about the dangers of when we don't have health screenings and such, then sometimes problems come up. You know, I mean, for things like colon cancer can be detected long before it becomes a problem. Of course, high blood pressure is a silent killer, right? There's no symptoms, mostly. So these are things that we can avoid. We can actually remove some dangers. We can nurture our young people in ways that keep them away from the environment. For example, there's killings in the city going on and sad things are happening, and just a sad thing. But sometimes people are in the wrong place at the wrong time. Sometimes. So why would you be in a party? Amen. Why be in a public party without security? Amen, somebody? In some place where it's known to be problems, why would you go to a party there? Stay out the party. You and your two friends can party at your house, in your backyard, amen, if you must party. My point is sometimes we can remove dangers. Sometimes we can remove dangers. And thirdly here is helping others and getting help for yourself. And these are ways we can mind the gap, close the distance, remove dangers that we allow, and help others and get help. Can you imagine how many lives have been saved by wearing seatbelts? I mean, y'all wouldn't understand this, but when I was a kid, a young man, nobody wore seatbelts. Oh, no, it was a sign of weakness. You got a seatbelt on? What's wrong with you? What you afraid of? So you know what? It did us a favor making us wear seatbelts, because then when you're warm, folks say, you wearing it? Yeah, they made me wear it. Click, you know. Well, good for me. Good for you. They made us wear it because they when you get into a hard, listen, this is a very severe, sudden stop. That's enough to bust your mouth on the steering wheel, isn't it? So then seatbelts and airbags, all that stuff, that has removed some danger. So my point is, look at your life. Look at your life, your circumstances, your employment, your finance, every area, and think about where the gaps should be closed, all right? Now, let me share with you a poem, that's pat to come, because going back to the thought about the importance of appreciating your life, here's a poem that I believe really gives a good illustration of value and how the perceived value can change based on understanding. So if you could read that.
The touch of the master's hand. 'Twas battered and scarred, and the auctioneer thought it hardly worth his while to waste his time on the old violin, but he held it up with a smile. "What am I bid, good people?" he cried. "Who starts the bidding for me? $1, $1, do I hear two? $2, who makes it three? $3 once, $3 twice, going for three. But no, from the room far back, a gray-bearded man came forward and picked up the bow. Then wiping the dust from the old violin and tightening up the strings, he played a melody pure and sweet as the angel sings. The music ceased, and the auctioneer, with a voice that was quiet and low, said, "What now am I bid for this old violin?" And he held it aloft with his bow. $1,000, $1,000, do I hear two? $2,000, who makes it three? $3,000 once, $3,000 twice, going and gone, said he. The audience cheered, but some of them cried, "We just don't understand what change is worth." Swift came the reply, "The touch of the master's hand."
Very famous poem, but it illustrates the point I'm making to you is that sometimes the gap in value, it comes down to who is looking at you or at your life. And that if we don't have the right perspective, that which is actually valuable can appear to have no value. In the master's hand, the same violin that was dusty and looked like it was discarded, people thought it was worth $1. After the man played a sweet melody on it, tightened the strings, and then they went bid $1,000 for it, and $2,000. The point is, this is what happened. You close the gap in appreciation and put your life in a master's hand, and your self-esteem, your sense of value, it goes up. It goes up. So understand that we're trying to get you to understand here that mind the gap. Mind the gap. And you let people sometimes mistreat you. Listen, sometimes we allow mistreatment. I mean, victims have a genuine concern, but sometimes we allow things to happen too. And it happens once, and like the great Maya Angelou said, if somebody shows you something, believe them. When someone shows you who they are, believe them. And so let's close the gap in this regard as well and put our hearts and our lives in the master's hand. Amen. Now, neglect then creates a gap in personal value and self-esteem. That's part of the message of the poem. The neglected violin seemed to have no value. And so that I believe we should recognize if we neglect ourselves in God's presence and in things in life and how we allow ourselves to be treated, that neglect will devalue us. But when you understand who you are and whose you are, and you put your life in the master's hand, that gap gets closed quickly. And the thing is, like I said to you, you should always have faith in God, but have confidence in what God gave you. A teacher, whatever you do, have confidence in what God gave you. That's not arrogance. Please hear that. And when somebody tells you it is arrogance, then that's a gap of appreciation from them to you. Because some people feel a need to bring you down. They got to pull you down. You're just doing too well. like what happened with Sanballat, Tobiah, and the people around Nehemiah. When they began to have progress, the enemy became angry. In fact, let me share this with you. Now, leaders and people in our world, in the church, when we forsake our duty and obligation, bad things happen. I mentioned about the major problem of crime and murder in our city. We've always had it. It's just worse now in some ways. And the worst part of this, listen, is unsolved crimes. And the problem is people are afraid to give testimony. Somebody saw it, but they are afraid to tell the police and prosecutors what they saw. And that leads, of course, to a gap where criminals are not being arrested and dealt with. And so that someone knows who did the crime, all right? Another gap we have is believers in Christ who stand by idly and silently while injustice happens to people around us. I read a scripture that said, the people of the land practice extortion, commit robbery, they oppress the poor and needy, and mistreat the foreigner, denying them justice. See, it happens, doesn't it? But see, what happens is we'll create a law and say, well, we made a law, now y'all illegal. I understand that, but you're using what you created to beat the people down. When you could have made a different law to help people. Because we're not in any danger from Mexicans. We're not in danger from Mexicans, y'all. And listen, not soapbox, it's prophetic. And listen, all the trouble we got is not on the south border. They coming from Canada too, and Europe. Why is all the focus on Latinos? It's called nationalism. Now, I say that because the Bible tells believers that we're supposed to stand in the gap. The whole reason he wrote that text in Ezekiel was that this was happening. There was extortion, there was robbery, mistreating the poor, oppressing the poor, mistreating foreigners. He said, I look for someone to stand before me in the gap on behalf of the people, and I found no one. See, so that where are the Christians? Why are we so silent on things where we could speak up? We should thank God that people, you know, again, history is our teacher here, history. We wouldn't have been in a place today of civil rights and being able to vote and all that. Had been believers like Frederick Douglass and Dr. King and a whole bunch of people we don't even know about. Those folk were not silent. They weren't idle. Frederick Douglass said, he said, agitate, agitate. He says, because power has never conceded without a demand. Anything. It never has. It never will. So what happened to us today? Well, frankly, folk just weak. Plain old weak. So then understand this. He says, mind the gap. I'm saying mind the gap. And there's a gap in how we allow sometimes things to happen. Now, onto the crime issue. Let me say this about that. This is my insight on that. This is not even my own thought. This is well known. If you offer a high enough reward to people and witness protection, they'll testify. A thug will sell a thug out for some money. But see, why aren't we doing that? Why don't we make it possible for people to come forth, you know, offer them a cash reward and offer them witness protection if they'll testify? Why isn't that being done? See? So, close the gap. Now, that's something we can't do. Government must close some of these gaps. The city people, the police, prosecutors, and because these are things that we hear in the church today, but we're supposed to be a prophetic voice. So what I just shared with you is not anything that hasn't been said before. It's just been ignored. All right? Look at Proverbs 19:17. Let me go on here. He says, whoever is generous to the poor lends to the Lord, and the Lord will repay him for his deed. So as far as God is concerned, those who are generally poor, when you help poor folk, you're blessing God. You lend money to God. So that's why we should be compassionate. You might get played sometime, but never, never lose your heart to help people. Amen? Because it's fundamental to God's heart that we help those that are poor and recognize their needs. 1 John 3:17 says, if anyone has this world's goods, I mean, we and believers in Christ, a whole country, and sees his brother in need, yet closes his heart against him, how does God's love abide in him? All right? So, you know, we understand the importance of security for the nations and all that kind of thing, but don't buy the narrative. I'll offer you this. People come across the border, not just Mexico, from anywhere in the country, fleeing persecution, looking for asylum, trying to survive and not die. That's why some come, all right? That's been lost. Some do come to find work. But most are coming for asylum. They're coming for work. Let me ask you this question, this proposition. What if you treated the people who hired illegals the same you treat illegals? Let's say if we deported you who hired them. Let's say if we put you in detention center, separate you from your children. What if you treated the people who hired them the same as the people? See, because it's a supply and demand thing going on. They don't come for nothing. They come for jobs. And they get hired by people who are hiding the fact they hired them. Well, okay, all right, let's deal with you too. So, see, my point is, there are gaps. There's gaps in justice. There's gaps in common sense. And there's gaps created by false narratives that make it look like this whole bunch of folk over here, they evil, they bad, there's something wrong with them. And people buy that sometimes. That's sad, isn't it? But if we have God's love, then compassion will rise up and we'll help people, many of whom are actually Christians. There are Christians coming over here, believers in Jesus Christ who are coming in to the country. And so we need to look at, you know, doing things with compassion. In fact, that plan was out there. It was shot down. President Obama, President Bush, both of them had plans to handle it by letting folk come out of the shadows, amen, and let them get in line to come in legally. But now we just, you know, made it out to be their enemies. They're like, you know, vermin or something, you know. Certainly not a compassionate, godly view. All right, let me go on here. Proverbs 14, verse 31 says this. Whoever oppresses the poor man insults his maker. Man, people are actually insulting God. Isn't that something? And the people who support those who insult God are in the same category. It's amazing how people, Christians, support stuff and don't know what they're supporting. Whoever oppresses the poor, a poor man, insults his maker, capital M, that's God. But he who is generous to the needy honors God. Isn't that interesting? How with all this talk of godly this, whatever, people are in fact going the opposite direction. Let's go on. Now, I began to realize that much of what we perceive as missing, wrong, or absent in life is the result of not minding a gap. Think about that for a moment. We think things are so wrong and so bad. I got so far to go. Some time is not that far at all. It's a gap, not a chasm, not a pit. It's a gap. And so when you see it as a gap, you then can see the grace of God to help you close the gap. Again, he said, I look for someone among them who would build up the wall, stand before me in the gap on behalf of the land, so I would not have to destroy them, but I found no one. That you and I should be the persons who God finds, who will stand before him, that is representing God, in the gap on behalf of the people. Basically saying, I'll be an ambassador. I'll represent God's interest to you. I will tell you about Jesus' love, the gospel of Christ, salvation. I'll teach you about how to succeed in life, how to prosper in life, how to work and how to be educated. I mean, to stand in the gap. That gap, it means a lot, y'all. It means a whole lot. Did you know that back when slavery was happening in America, it was illegal to educate a slave, to teach a slave to read? Do you know why? We know why, right? If he learned how to read, he would be empowered. He would be empowered. He would be empowered to not, you know, need to be a slave anymore or to challenge the whole principle of slavery, so that they made it illegal to keep him in the gap. They actually created a gap, right, between the person who was a slave and his future. They created a gap and said, no, you won't read. You will not read. We don't want you to read. You won't go to school. We won't teach your kids to read because, you know, basically our free labor is going away. You know, the whole Civil War was based on that now. Because, that, you know, hey, it's hard to give up free labor. People now have changed the narrative about the Civil War. Said, well, it's about states' rights. Right to what? Finish the sentence. See? So these gaps, y'all, gaps. Mind the gap. You know, let's call up our representatives and senators and mayors and say, hey, mind the gap. Would y'all mind the gap, please? Because we are missing things that would help people if we would see it and close it. And sometimes the gaps that should be closed are minor. You know, for example, I've got a letter in the mail. I've got two letters in the mail. One addressed to the church and me, and one addressed to the church. Same letter from the city. We got cited. Case number, whatever. We caught a case, okay? Because there is graffiti on the IPL transformer and graffiti on the dumpster. We don't own the dumpster or the transformer, okay? But we got a letter saying, remove this in 30 days or you face a fine of up to $2,500. There's a gap there somewhere. You can't even see it from the street. I mean, you got to look real hard to see some graffiti. I mean, a little bit of graffiti, a little bit. I mean, like a little bit on the transformer and the dumpster. Why are y'all hassling us? Just call us on the phone and say, there's graffiti. I see overgrown lots. We still got Chuck Jose ain't filled. Come on. Why are you going to send me two letters threatening me, personally threatening me in the church, about this graffiti? So I said, you know what? In fact, a pastor friend of mine saw and said, he knows the mayor. He said, Pastor, I'll talk to the mayor for you. I'm like, go talk to him, you know. And if they don't handle it, on day 29, we'll deal with it. We ain't going to do it for then. I'm going to wait till day 29. Because, you know, why should I jump on that, you know? See, gaps, say gaps. Yeah. And when someone is doing something dumb like that, you ought to address it. At least speak up. That, you know, that's a bad policy. Tell IPL. It's their thing. Then, all right, so then if I go out and paint that, do I get cited for defacing IPL property? I don't know. I might paint it red. You know what I'm saying? It's green. I might paint it red. It's covered. I covered it. That's the rambunctious side of me coming out. I know that. I did cover it. You don't like the color? Deal with it. But I wouldn't do that. That's a bad spirit. I know. But there is still some hood in me. Amen, somebody. There's still some hood in me. I grew up 34th and Sherman Drive, okay? So I still got some hood in me. But I don't like gaps. I hate injustice. I hate unfairness and unreasonableness. The policy should be call and say, can you deal with this? And then we'll deal. Don't send me a letter threatening me and then give me a case number. I called a case, y'all. Pastor got a case. I done called a case. That's what criminals say. You guys enjoying? I caught a case. Pastor caught a case for graffiti on two things that only belong to us. On our property. I get that. Let me go on. I got to finish up. Let's go back to Nehemiah now. Now, when you're closing gaps, don't forget the Bible says you don't wrestle against flesh and blood. So don't make the mistake of getting caught up with people. Recognize that the gaps that represent the enemies that are creating trouble for you may be people manifesting, but the source is beyond people, right? So stay in prayer. Keep the mind of Christ. Now, look at Nehemiah again, chapter 6. Again, it said, verse 1, when the word came to Sanballat, Tobiah, Geshem, and the Arab, and the rest of our enemies, that I had rebuilt the wall and not a gap was left in it, though up to that time I had not set the doors in the gates. Sanballat and Geshem sent me a message, come let us meet together in one of the villages of the plain of Ono. But they were scheming to harm me. So I sent messages to them in this reply. I am carrying on a great project. I love that. Doing a great work. So I cannot go down to you. Note he said down. Understand that. Get that little nuance there, see. I ain't going down to you. See, I don't go down to people who are trying to threaten me and scheme against me. And again, not the people, but the spirit behind them. So he saw the game, what it was. Get them off the wall. Get them off that wall at all costs. He said, no, we're not going down to you, and leave the work. And the same for you. When you close the gap, sometimes your circumstances, your greatest enemy is your own mind. Hear that. Don't think about people first. Or the economy, the price of gas. Our biggest enemy is our own carnal mind, what we think, how we think, our habits. Amen. And so that when we look at closing the gap in what God would have us in terms of the distance between where we should be and where we are and so forth, then recognize the importance of getting before God and not falling for distractions. Don't be distracted by going someplace you shouldn't go, as Nehemiah was tempted to do. Didn't go. He stayed on task. That's why the work was accomplished in a short period of time. So again, pay attention and close the distance between important things and people in your life. Close the gap. Say, mind the gap.
Mind the gap.
I'm gonna say, mind the gap.
Mind the gap.
Mind the gap. Gaps, we could probably say. Now, in closing, the handouts now. Let me have one, please, if I could. I need one for myself, a handout. Let me have you look at this. And this is our exercise just to begin to have you think about gaps. Not do it all here now. It's more for your personal time. But look at this. Distances to close spiritually, physically, financially, with God, in relationships. Spiritually. What's a gap to close? Well, prayer is always a major gap, isn't it, for most of us? Prayer time, quality prayer. That's one thing. Reading the Bible, just simple things. Physically, obvious things, you know, screenings and health issues, things that you know, we need to close the gaps. With God, relationships. Second, dangers to remove spiritually. What can be dangerous spiritually? Well, it's dangerous to hang with the wrong people. That's dangerous. It actually is dangerous, you know, spiritually, even sometimes physically. How many folk have been hurt or killed just being around, quote unquote, the wrong crowd? How many times have people been hurt and maimed and killed that way? Financially, danger to remove. Dangers, all right? New credit card come in the mail. Free money. You can pay off this one with that one. Like I tell you, if you buy them shoes on credit, them shoes are going to wear out. You're still paying for them. It'll help on that. Move right along. People hate to hear that, don't they? I mean, I've been there. We know. I ain't picking on nobody. Financial danger is not tithing, not giving. That's a danger, y'all. It's a danger not giving to God. It's a danger. It's a danger. And then finally, people to help. What people are you supposed to help? Which people should you help? That you can help. You can help them. You can't do it for them. You can't enable people. I'm not saying that. But you can help people. And then finally, what help do you need? What help do I need? That's a big one, y'all. I need help. And I've learned a long time ago, man, I would get some help. I don't have any problem. I learned the hard way. If you don't get help, you're going to suffer in ways that you won't, you wish you'd ask for help. So get help for yourself, help for others. Amen? Father, thank you. Thank you, Lord, for reminding us in some areas of the message today. Maybe you have given us new information, new insights. Whether we have only had something stirred in us or deposited in us, whether it's a deposit or a stirring up, whatever, Lord, thank you for dealing with us today through your word. Thank you, Lord God, for teaching us in the scripture, applying this principle of minding the gap, taking that phrase and applying it in different ways. Lord, thank you that we will close the distance through the grace of God, through your grace, close distances, remove dangers, help people, and receive help. Thank you, Father God. In all of these areas, you are faithful. And we thank you and we praise you that Jesus is the one who's given grace, who has provided the means to close every gap, to reduce the distance, remove the dangers. Jesus, you're our Savior. This is what you do. This is exactly what you do.